Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore live show. It is a Friday night, and usually it's not, we're usually not here on a Friday night, but today we are. This is episode 335. We're here to talk about True Detective Night Country, episode 5. And as always, this is Nerd. You're going to hear the host of the show, along with our wonderful co-host, Brad Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a wonderful, wonderful Friday evening. This is unusual, but it is the Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, Super Bowl weekend, which meant that there was not going to be any True Detective Night Country, and that it was premiered on a Friday. So that means that your favorite review show would be on a Friday as well. And yeah.
Hey, I got Night Country early, so I'm okay with that.
I know. I wasn't going to complain about that one bit. I think we definitely were looking forward to having our Night Country today. I'm feeling a little better from yesterday, which is also going to be weird because yesterday's episode that we recorded drops tomorrow. So you're going to see me dying tomorrow, but today I'm doing okay. So yeah, that's why y'all should be on the Patreon. So that way you can see when these things happen in real time, right?
Like me.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, hope everyone's having a great time, a great day. Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Earl. Doing all right. Better than you. Uneventful today. So not much. I did start the other HBO series, Tokyo Vice. So
Tokyo Vice. Yeah. I started up on what's it called?
Godzilla.
I finished Godzilla 2000 Millennium, and then I started on Abbott Elementary season 3.
Ah.
Yes. I started on that. And then, of course, sat down to watch this. And, yeah, really good stuff today.
Yeah, I'm debating whether to go work out or watch Tokyo Vice.
I don't know. I can't advise you on that. I thought you were going to say go work out or watch Godzilla 2000 Millennium. I was going to say you should go work out.
I'll do that over the weekend.
Yeah, I was like, you should go work out. I promise. Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm excited to go into this episode. So if we want to get that started.
Yeah. Damn straight. Let's go ahead. Yeah, let's just go ahead and do this, man. We're freaking excited about this episode. So let's go ahead and do this thing. So if you haven't watched today's episode of True Detective Night Country, you should probably get out of here. If you care about spoilers. But if you don't care about spoilers, or you've already seen this week's episode, go ahead and stay. Either way, how it goes is your one and only spoiler warning, and it is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
add a cough in there.
We added a cough in there for you guys. Oh my god. So just like every week, we don't actually have a nice little synopsis written on IMDb for us, so might as well just go ahead and recap it a little bit here. So they got told about the cave, and they go in and try to find that cave.
And the cave's like, closed.
Cave's closed because it got blue.
Yeah, blown up. Got blown up.
Yeah. And you know, that doesn't stop. What's it called? Navarro and Danvers.
I mean Connolly and the billionaire mine queeness definitely. Definitely tried. I don't care if that's not a word. I'm using queenus.
Queenus, yeah. and we saw the fallout of what happened. Well, the fallout of the relationship between Hank and
his son there.
Yep.
Also, R.I.P. Otis. He was literally on screen for like 10 minutes this whole season.
Yeah, rest in peace, Otis, bro. Otis got killed quick, yeah. Bro.
like that man did not last. He had one last hit and then got hit.
That's... You know damn well he was just there for them to lead him to the cave.
Yes, I mean exactly.
How and they were at the end of
it
out. All,
he didn't even need to like he could have just pointed at like this is the highest point and been done.
Yeah, but I have to say, what's it called? You know, I was like, you know, he's not gonna last long, but. It's how they're going to take him out that's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, so Pryor got sent to the doghouse. He told him not to not to be at the house anymore because
yeah, they've been kind of working that the whole season. Like we knew,
yeah,
we knew he was about to get kicked out of his own house.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of stuff going on in this episode. A lot between Danvers and her daughter. But I'll go ahead and go first to Brad. Brad, what do you think? What was your first? What are your initial thoughts on True Detective?
My initial thoughts on True Detective episode season 4 episode 5 is that this is the best episode since episode 1 in my opinion. I think this really, like, we were waiting for an uptick here for the last probably 4 episodes, I'd say. Probably the last 3 to 4, I think. And I think it really showed here. Stuff started to go, it like went quickly. It started to tie into everything. And it was just a fun ride until you get to the whole part where you never thought you'd see Hank getting shot by his son. You knew there was tension there, but you never thought it would come to that. Especially,
I never thought it was that bad.
Especially over Danvers, of all people.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad, I have to say, I thought this episode was the best episode of the series yet. I think that this is really where things started to, like, you know, connect here. And I think that things are starting to actually make a little more sense now. Even though I wasn't really having a problem with the last episodes, but I was like, man, I'm waiting for this, for an episode to really get me here. Like, for it to really, like, you know, for it to, I guess wrestling's on my mind right now, Brad. So I'm like, for it to really pop me, I was like, I'm waiting for an episode to pop me. And, this one did it, man. I think this episode was fantastic. We get to see just how Novato is handling her sister's death.
Not overly well.
No.
No.
You know, we get to see her, you know, pour her ashes into the water.
Into the ocean.
And but other than that, we also get to see where Danvers is, like, she's trying. She wants to try to, like, connect with her daughter, and it's like, it's hard. But like,
well, and for her daughter basically to say, I haven't given up on you, that's something for Danvers, I think, to hold on to a little more hope in that regard. I think the biggest thing we also see in this is the spiral come back into play.
Yes.
And how that spiral has a kind of different meaning than it did from the first season.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
So the guy said that the spirals may mean that, like, those are areas of the ice where it's a little bit more, what's it called, fragile.
Yeah.
So for you not to go near those places because you would get sucked into what is kind of described to as like a lower cave system. Also, I know this is really off topic, Brad, but there was a video floating around my Twitter where wasn't Drake, was it? No. Where this lady was like jumping into like an ice, what's it called? Like an ice thing. And they said that they never found her after that. I'm starting to think after True Detective Night Country, I think she went into a cave system.
That was in Russia, correct?
In Russia, where this lady jumped in there to like save.
Doing like a polar plunge or something.
Yeah.
And then she was just taken by the
current. They just never found her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to think she went into a lower cave system.
It's a possibility, but yeah, more than likely she did not make it out alive. So, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Like the spiral comes back into play and it has kind of a different meaning than what, you know, what we were all seeing from the first season. But that still doesn't explain the RV with all the artifacts. But I don't know. I mean, maybe it was just a nice little Easter egg given us by Issa Lopez in that matter.
Yeah, I think I really like the idea of like it being used as a warning. I like that it wasn't used as like, oh, there's another cult here, and like for her to hold it off until this episode is kind of like saying like, ha, you see, guys, you guys were waiting here for me to
you gotta wait. You gotta give it a little time for the buildup, and then we're gonna lower the hammer on you. And I think that's what we really see.
And I think I think that Issa Lopez did that great because it's like, you know, I like people the whole time. They're like, oh, I'm good. They're like either anticipating or they're dreading to see that it's going to connect to season 1. And for her to bring that out, I was like, okay, great. You did it. Like you fucking, you pulled a fast one out of them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
there was enough breadcrumbs and enough Easter eggs where, you know, if you've seen the first season, you're like, oh, yeah. And then, you know, bringing in Russ Cole's dad in that mix and just everything on that. It was kind of a fun little play, but now I'm thinking that, you know, the first season has so little to do with it than what we were expecting.
Yeah, I think it has a lot less, you know, because what's it called? I think that's what people were like expecting, because they're like, oh my God, she brought the spiral. Like,
and then, yeah, is it Tully or Tuttle? I think it's Tully, the Tully industry or Tuttle industry,
yeah,
whichever. So name drop that. But I think really what it comes down to is this giant corporation poisoning the water and killing off people who know about it.
Yeah, because now they wanted to get, what's it called? What's his name? It's not Hank. Hank is the son, right? Hank is the son.
No, Hank's the father.
Hank. Oh, yeah. Hank's the father. They wanted to get
Hank. They just call him Pryor, basically.
Pryor. Yeah. So they wanted Hank to, what's it called, to kill off Otis, because it looks like, what's it called? It looks like they're getting a little too close to something they shouldn't be getting close to. And I expected something for it to be, you know, wrapped around in some sort of corruption going on. And I'm glad that this is the route that she took, because it's like, yeah, this is like, it's this corporation was like buying off the police to, what's it called, to not be held accountable for what they're doing.
What did you think of that scene with Danvers going in and finding all the coffins, all the children's coffins? Do you think she was just having to see for herself that there were, you know, 9 stillbirths?
I don't know, Brad. I think she had to see for herself, yeah. But I thought that was fucking scary as hell, though. Once again, Isla Lopez bringing in the great, like, what's it called, the great horror chops here. Mm-hmm. Just so much very horror-esque imagery here.
I think that's the major difference between this season and previous seasons. Is previous seasons were really more closely related to noir aspects. Yeah. Of the show, and this one, it's a little less straight noir, up, yeah. More
psychological horror. Thriller, man. This is straight up like horror thriller.
And then, of course, it keeps the narrator, who we can't always believe, which is always a cool aspect of the show. That's always been a cool aspect of the show. Is the unreliable narrator, and to just see them go off that, and it's definitely a slow burn. I'm not going to say this, you know. This probably still isn't my favorite season compared to season one, but I will say this episode right here is showing it is going to be worth the build up, I think, if they land the next episode. And the next episode, we finally go in the cave system. So I've been like they showed previews of that. So we know they're going in the cave system.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that I know we were really expecting for them to finally go into into the cave system in this one. But I was like, okay, I don't think we're going to go in, but the way that we went about that with like unveiling the corruption, I was like, okay, good. I'm glad that we didn't like go fully in there yet, because yeah,
how no one's trustworthy, how Connolly's not trustworthy, Hank's not trustworthy. The only trustworthy ones really are Navarro, Danvers, and Pryor at this point.
But and dude, I mean, just
if Rose is real, I kind of like the aspect of like if Pryor is out there and then there's no one there.
Yeah. But hey, man, the big moment, I mean, the standoff between fucking Hank Pryor and Danvers, I didn't think, oh my God, I didn't think that Pryor was going to do it, man.
I honestly thought Pryor was going to help him move a body into his truck. That's what my thought was.
Yeah. But then again, in the back of my head, I was like, hey, bro, that's the guy who slapped the shit out of you in episode one, bro. Like,
well, and also we saw just that the trust being even more broken with Hank going into Pryor's computer.
Yep. And I was like, oh man, and it's true, bro. Like, what's it called? That it was true that Hank was feeling like that Danvers was turning his kid against him. But like, dude, you were already doing that before, bro. Like going into his computer. You know, fucking slapping the shit out of him.
I mean, it doesn't sound like he was a good dad prior either. Like, it doesn't sound like he went to any of his kids' games or any of that.
Yeah.
Made him food or lunches. I mean, that was Danvers' first hit on Hank in the very first episode, was like he didn't make his kid lunches. So I think Pryor had a pretty pretty hard childhood.
Yeah.
From the sounds of it.
Yep. And it culminated in that fucking moment, and I was like, oh my god, I was like, I didn't know what the fuck was gonna happen. And when that he fucking shoots, I was like, holy shit. It's like,
but Danvers going over to Pryor to comfort him. That's also something that we rarely see. Like, we got in a little bit of the last episode with Navarro's sister, Danvers finding her and comforting her. But this one, like she went into whole motherly mode, and it was definitely weird to see from this all this season.
Yeah, well, it just shows that I think that that Danvers is growing on him. Now, should she have been taking him away from his family like that? No, because I'm pretty sure a big reason why.
But you think about the Danvers history now. Danvers really doesn't have any family except her daughter, who I'm thinking her daughter spent a lot of time with, you know, her blood relatives, and you know, Danvers didn't really have any family, so if she doesn't know or doesn't much care before that she was taken away prior from his family.
Yeah. But
also was that a Linkin Park song at the end?
I don't know, Brad. I couldn't tell. My ears are stuffed. Down. My nose is stuffed and my ears are stuffed, Brad, so I'm kind of having trouble here. I don't know. I can't confirm that.
I think it was a remix of Linkin Park, honestly, but anyone in chat or in future, go leave a comment. Let me know if I'm wrong or just, you know, making shit up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But what else? And
Navarro, I think, is going into more. She's seeing more things.
I think it is bro. I think she's losing it, bro.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see that Navarro was gonna finally let that guy in, bro. She went over to his house and she didn't just use him for sex. He cuddled up.
Yeah. So. More comfort. There was a lot of comfort in this episode and not the sexual way.
So I feel like next episode is probably going to get pretty depressing.
Thanks for dropping in.
What's up, Keon?
Love you, Chosen.
How you doing, bro? Oh, man. How you doing, Keon? Glad you're in here with us, bro. I think throughout this whole season, bro, like, Callie Reyes has been my standout to me. I've really been enjoying what she's been bringing to Navarro as an actress. And I think that her portrayal of, like, this person who has, like, such a, like, hard shell, but she's, obviously hurting from so much.
She's also stuck in a very uncomfortable position, and she comes from that culture. But at the same time, she's on the police force, and you get to see that in this riot.
Yeah, in the protests
where she went in there as the police force, but she saw, like, you know, Danvers' kid is getting beat, and she basically starts beating up on the police. So she's stuck in a very uncomfortable position in her job.
Yeah, and like, she, the, what's it called, the Danvers's daughter even asked her, like, what's it called, what were you doing there? It's like, dude, like, what's it called, you're like, basically saying, like, you're the police. Yeah, like, what's it called,
I just like that shot of her just getting hit in the back with the ink, whatever that was, and her turning around and going, really?
yep. But you know, she's put in such an uncomfortable position, but she, what's it called, she's very aware of what her position brings to that area that she was in. Like, she's very aware of what her being a police officer, involving herself in, like, breaking up a protest around Native lives represents. And, but she is all focused on making sure she, solves this case, because
I thought that dialogue between her and Danvers there, where she's like, Annie's yours now. Like, you can carry her now. And I was like, damn, okay.
Yeah.
You know, some dialogue in previous episodes have been kind of iffy, but that exchange right there, I was like, wow, that was really good. Like,
yeah. I don't know. Well, everybody's been complaining about when it comes to, like, the writing. They're like, I was like, oh God, I just heard one of the worst lines ever in True Day to Night Country. I'm like, what?
I mean, we've watched a lot of movies and a lot of shows. Jesus. There's been a lot worse dialogue.
I feel like y'all don't even watch that much shit if you think that these lines are terrible, man. Like, y'all need to start watching better stuff, bro. I mean, more stuff. Because, I don't know what the hell y'all are going on about. What else, Brad? Is there anything else we're missing from like some of the what went down in this episode?
I'm trying to think. The whole Hank following Danvers there was pretty creepy throughout the whole episode, I have to admit.
Yeah. Oh, dude, fucking Hank telling Danvers telling the lady, what's it called? Well, I guess he's a bad lay. He was,
her husband. I'm sorry, your husband's a bad lay. That was basically what she said. Oh. Yeah. And then throwing in her face that she knows where the funding's coming from and that they funded their own source that checks for pollution. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I was like, dude, you did not have to go there. But
And then Connelly totally cucking it up and shrinking to the billionaire business
of course, the oil
industry or whatever the hell they're looking for. Minerals.
Yeah. But of course he cuck up to it, bro. Like what a he has no spine, bro.
No. I mean, it's a whole political situation. Yeah. That's why Hank was doing what he was doing, just so he could be cut. Like, well, that's a pretty shitty reason to go and kill people, is so you can be chief of police. Like, really? Chief of police in Alaskan town?
Yeah, chief of police in a fucking small
town. I'm sorry,
town
but any public servant position in anything is, like, it just ain't worth it, bro.
It's really not.
Unless the mine's giving them kickbacks, which they probably are, my guess.
But I was like, of course she wants to promise you chief of police. She's not gonna get that done though. Like, if you think she couldn't get it done the first time, you think she's gonna get it done the second time?
Maybe like, with Danvers, oh, we didn't. She could have, but
bro, come on. She's like, what's it called? I didn't expect Danvers to come in. It's like, what were you doing before Ant-Man Danvers came in?
Well, if Connelly's the one to make that choice, like it you could perceive that. I'm just saying, you know. You can't be making that much of a public servant in goddamn Alaska.
Yeah.
So there's got to be kickbacks thrown into there too.
Yeah. Yeah. But damn great episode, man. I fucking loved it. This episode was what I was waiting for, and I was like I was finally waiting for something to like really wow me, and I think that they did it in this episode.
The build up, it took a lot of build up, but we finally got there.
Yeah.
Where you know, yeah, we got that surge.
Like I said, we're watching this episodically, y'all. This wasn't dropped in one sitting. No, this is how it usually feels when you're watching an episodic television show.
I think people have forgotten, or people don't know about that idea. There's a lot of younger viewers than me who don't remember when on television it was episodic. Like Breaking Bad, I remember having to wait every week on AMC to freaking watch goddamn Breaking Bad drop. And it makes it a lot more like tense, like more, you know, your more anticipation is going on with that.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, you know, this is how it used to be. Like, what's it called? We'd wait, and then as episodes dropped, we would start to realize, like, oh, that's why that was going on in that episode. Like,
I
thought that wasn't moving the narrative along. Actually, kind of makes sense now.
I love that when they do it episodic, because I can go to other like content creators on YouTube. I could go listen to what their ideas are, and I can go to Reddit and like read what those guys are saying. So, I mean, it gives you like this whole week so you can figure out like, okay, what's either the hive mind thinking or what's everybody's collective understanding or who's coming up with new ideas on what it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the people who are like up in arms about this season, who like were just, yeah, guys, he's like, this wasn't something to binge. You had to just kind of like watch this as it's happening.
I mean, but that's been every True Detective, though. It hasn't been a binge. It's been episodic for every season, including season two.
But we have had a long wait from season three until now. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of people who probably didn't even want to go watch season three. And they were just, this is where they were starting off with.
I will say I did give my, I told my parents watch season one and three. And then start four.
Yeah.
just skip two. I kind of want to go back to two now and just see, you know, maybe the hate was misplaced at the time. But, like, I just remember us really hating that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's starting to be, like, some sort of, like, not critical, like, but, like
they're going called? Back, like, people are rewatching and they're having, I mean, it might be a cult classic season for all I know. One of those. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not about to sit on that train. But
if I have, like, there's other stuff I want to watch before that. But if I have, like, nothing maybe for a year, yeah, I might tune in and go back and rewatch season two and see what that was about. Because yeah. I just remember season two just being a slog.
Yeah. Well, damn great episode, guys. I really loved it. And I can't wait to see where we're going next episode, because the next episode is the season finale. And the trailer looked like it's going to be pretty good stuff.
We're going
and,
in the caves. We're finally going in the caves.
We're going to find out what the fuck happened here.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it all leads. But I loved this episode.
Oh, we didn't mention Hank moved the body. That's he admitted right. to moving the body.
Yep, that's right. You moved the body. You moved the fucking body. What originally Pryor was questioning, what's it called? Danvers about, right?
Yes.
And he's like, no, I moved the body. Like, I moved the body. I was like, fucking Christ. Like, yeah. Dude, your child is not going to trust you, bro. Oh,
and
like,
then that whole scene where Pryor is like, did you and Navarro, like, shoot this guy and cover up as a suicide?
Yeah.
And then I just love when Danvers is like, you know, you need to learn sometimes when to stop asking questions.
Yep. Yep. Do you think that they did, Brad?
I think Pryor put up a compelling argument, like the dude was left-handed and the gunshot was in the right temple. Also, let's be real. I think Navarro probably did shoot him.
Yeah, but did they kill him? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And they're showing, like, the woman, like, she was, if he was left-handed, her bruises were on the wrong side. So that one is all, like, I don't think that one's getting answered.
Yeah.
I don't think that's getting answered. What exactly went down in there. Unless they do a flashback for some reason.
Yeah. Well, Brad, what is your final verdict on True Detective Night Country Episode 5?
This is my favorite one since the first episode. I'm probably going to give this one like a 9.5.
All right, man. This is it, man. I was waiting for an episode to wow me, and it fucking did. I'm giving True Detective Night Country Episode 5 a wonderful 9 out of 10, man. I fucking loved it. Nah. I loved this episode. And I really enjoyed the season, man.
And hopefully the next episode builds upon this episode and we just continue that route of how it's done. Yeah. And we end off on a high note.
Before, I was kind of scared that they were going to rush it. And after tonight, I don't think I'm scared anymore. I think we're headed towards something interesting here. I hope they don't rush it, but I don't think I'm scared of that anymore. I think they've got it. I think they got it in the bag, Brad.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Issa Lopez. I loved her movie Tigers Are Not Afraid. Her horror elements are almost they're. I mean, she is under the tutelage of Guillermo del Toro, from what I could see. So my feeling is we're going to get a freaking fantastic horror ending.
Yeah. And of course, that concludes our review of part 5, y'all. As always, we thank you all so much for joining us. And, you know, Brad, I noticed, I don't think we're going to have a lot of, hold on. I need to look at my little schedule here, Brad. Cause we have Shogun on the first, right?
Yeah. Or... I believe Shogun drops. I thought that was in April though.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. So, no, Shogun is April is, March 2nd. Oh, April March. Is Fallout.
Yes, you're right.
So, next week is the season finale on the 18th, and then until the 1st, Mr. Keon and I will be doing our review of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Heck yeah!
Yeah, So it looks like we'll only have 1 week without a live show, guys. But no worries, we'll be back tomorrow. We're gonna be back for Ted season one review. That should be fun.
It's a lot of fart jokes going on.
Yeah,
a lot of fart and dick jokes.
That's what I like. I don't know about you, but you know, I like me some fart and dick jokes.
Hey, fart jokes have been funny for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you all so much for joining us. As always, check us out on the nerdcore.com, Patreon. Twitter, nerdcore_Instagram, and Threads is at the nerdcore. TikTok is at the nerdcore. Patreon.com/nerdcore. Discord link is in the description below as well. And as always, leave a like, subscribe, click the notification bell, leave a 5-star review, and follow us on podcast platforms. My God. What's it called? Like I said, guys, we take for granted being able to properly breathe through our nose.
Nose and mouth. We just take for granted being able to breathe without thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. But thank you all so much for joining us. As always, we thank our patrons. They're wonderful people. We're going to be we'll be back tomorrow for Ted Season 1 review. But for now, this is all we got. Brad, let's go ahead and send him out of here.
All right, Raul, thank you, being host, as always. Thank you, Chill Zone, for joining us in chat today. Thank you to all the listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, beware of the Night Country, and, you know, beware your dad if he's named Hank. Freaking Hank Pryor. Young Yoda out.